From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hello, this is Bob Levy, Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors, and welcome to Naps Chat. On Tuesday this past week, Postmaster General Louis DeJoy and the USPS Board of Governors unveiled the anxiously awaited Postal Service 10-year plan, optimistically entitled Delivering for America. For the past few days, members of Congress, postal employee groups, including NAPS, major mailers, postal competitors, postal contractors, and other postal stakeholders, and the White House itself have been perusing the 58-page Postal Service vision of itself for the decade ahead. There's still a lot to digest before expressing an opinion on the plan. Nevertheless, three consequential changes are embraced in the manifesto, and PMG DeJoy telegraphed them at recent congressional hearings. 1. Mail delivery would generally take longer. 2. Postage would generally be higher. And 3. Windows at many retail postal locations would be shorter. Before diving into the 10-year plan, it's important to recognize that 10 years is a long period of time, and a plan is just that, a plan. Implementation of the plan is the key. Just think, 10 years ago in 2011, then Postmaster General Pat Donahoe proposed to Congress that the Postal Service should eliminate 220,000 positions, remove its remaining career employees from the Federal Employees Health Benefits Program and Federal Retirement System, close 3,700 post offices, and eliminate six-day delivery. Yes, 10 years ago is a long time. It's a relief that the current 10-year plan does not include such proposals. Market conditions evolve, political power shifts, and postal leadership changes. Today, I have as my guest NAPS Secretary Treasurer Chuck Mulladore. Before Chuck and I begin our conversation, I just want to caution our listeners that NAPS is currently evaluating the 10-year plan to assess its potential impact on NAPS members, as well as the service that our members provide to the mailing public. So don't expect Chuck to articulate an official endorsement or opposition to the plan. Rather, we just want to talk about what's in it and what to expect over the next few months. Welcome to Naps Chat, Chuck.
Well, hello, Bob. Thanks for having me back on Naps Chat. Always an honor and a privilege to be here. Looking forward to it.
Now, Chuck, as I said, Naps is reviewing the 10-year plan, and you've taken a peek at it. Do you have any personal reflections on it?
Well, I think it's good that it's out there. We've been hearing about it for quite some time. It's been something that's been looked for by stakeholders, Congress, all of us for several years now. So it's good that it's out. And as you said, we're reviewing it, and we'll have a more official statement on it shortly as an organization.
Now, I want to talk about current law for a second. The first section of the Postal Reorganization Act of 1970, that's over a half century ago, reads, quote, "The Postal Service shall have as its basic function the obligation to provide postal services to bind the nation together through the personal, educational, literary, and business correspondence of the people. The law continues, it shall provide prompt, reliable services throughout the nation." Before we even talk about the 10-year plan, is this mission still viable for the Postal Service?
Absolutely. I mean, it's always been the mission, right? For 230 plus years now, that's been the mission, to deliver to the American people, bind the nation together through correspondence. So that mission hasn't changed now, and I don't expect it to ever change as long as there's a postal service. So yeah, the mission is definitely still viable.
And the mission is to provide this on a universal basis, because there still is a universal service obligation to all Americans.
Absolutely, and only we do that. So we're the Postal Service. Remember, service is in our name. It's what we do, and we are required to deliver to the American public 7 days a week now, on Sundays, with packages and others. So the mission hasn't changed any. Yeah, technology changes, times change, things evolve. But the core mission of the Postal Service is as viable today as it was 240 years ago.
As I said, Chuck, you have had the opportunity to look at the plan. There appears to be a fundamental pivot in the Postal Service's business model from accepting, processing, and delivering for what we traditionally refer to as first-class mail to the acceptance, processing, and delivery of parcels. Moreover, it is now the conventional wisdom that delivery of products is no longer just the cost of doing business, but it is a marketing tool used by postal customers to solicit their own customers. And retail customers have made clear that when given the choice between standard shipping of 3 to 5 days and speedier delivery, they want the speed. How does this customer expectation dovetail with the 10-year plan?
Well, one of the, I think, the positive aspects, let's say, of the 10-year plan is, one, revenue growth. Number two would also be a desire from the Postal Service to have better technology, more transparent to customers. I think that that's something that's definitely needed. But the idea of slowing down service as more mail moves to ground transportation versus air transportation, it does create that dynamic between how do you meet customer expectations for faster and faster delivery when you're going to put more and more mail on surface transportation. So there's definitely an issue there, and we'll need some more time to look at it and flesh it out with the Postal Service, but it's definitely a concern.
We are more and more conversant in talking about a postal business model, because I know the Postmaster General DeJoy has spoken about the business model of it being flawed. Board of Governors have spoken about it in the past. People who've looked at the Postal Service have talked about the business model. Are we sort of moving away from the concept of a public service mission to a for-profit business model?
I hope not, because we're not a traditional business, right? We're mandated to deliver to every household business across America 6-7 days a week. No other business has that requirement. No other business could fulfill that requirement. So we're not a traditional business. You know, this is the Postal Service. It's not the Postal Corporation or the Postal Company. We're a Postal Service. And so there needs to be a business aspect to it. Obviously, there has to be efficiencies built into the system. You have to price your products, price your delivery, and all that is a business aspect of it. But you can't make what we do strictly about business, because we do so much more than that. Again, our competitors, they don't deliver to places that aren't profitable to them. They give it to us to deliver. They pay us to deliver product for them in areas that it's not profitable for them to go to. So we have to operate on that assumption. We can't just cut our delivery network because it's not cost effective. So there has to be some balance there between servicing our customers and business. But again, service is in our name. It's what we do.
Our customers, when they speak about service, there are two aspects of service, and that's where our customers, primarily our residential customers, they touch the Postal Service at two points. One mm-hmm. is at the post office,
right,
and the second place is at the delivery point, their letter carrier.
Right.
That's a marketing tool. That is, you know, that needs to be factored into a business model, because the public service is the business model.
Right. You know, and it gets back to that conversation. Are we a business or are we a service? Well, we're both. We're a business that provides an essential public service. I mean, look, if we haven't figured out yet over the last year how vital the Postal Service is to this country in the delivery of mail, ballots, medicines, prescriptions, you name it, parcels during a pandemic and a very, very contentious election season. We highlighted who we are and what we do over the last year. We have shown, I mean, we've already known that we're a vital essential public service. We've known that forever. But everybody now who might have wondered before now knows just how vital a role we play in the nation's economy. So You can't take the service out of it and make it strictly about business and about cost. You can't do that. That's service is what we do.
Let's talk about the Postal Service's financial condition for a moment. A major portion of the plan, the 10-year plan, anticipates legislative and regulatory changes that are outside of the Postal Service's control, two of which are included in a discussion draft of legislation proposed by House Oversight and Reform Committee Chairwoman Carolyn Maloney. I speak of, number one, repeal of the Postal Service's requirement to pre-fund retiree health benefits, and secondly, the integration of Medicare for future retirees. Let me reiterate that, future retirees, not current retirees. If enacted, these two provisions would save the Postal Service about $44 billion over the next decade. Should it concern the Postal Service that the major congressional proponents of these changes, and that's Carolyn Maloney, Jerry Conley, Steve Lynch on the House side, and Senator Gary Peters, chairman of the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee on the Senate side, that they've been thus far deeply concerned about the 10-year plan?
Well, I think we have to be cognizant of how the Congress sees this potential in this particular plan. And we do work with, and I know you, Ivan, the legislative team, all of us here at NAPS headquarters, work with the folks you mentioned to better the legislative agenda for the Postal Service and for NAPS. And we're grateful to them. I mean, H.R. 1623 and 1624 wouldn't have happened without that relationship that we have with those individuals and those congressional leaders. I think what I learned as much as anything from some of the recent testimony that the Postmaster General provided to Congress and a subcommittee as well, was that they want him to be more transparent with them. They want to be more on the front page with him so they know what's coming, they have an understanding of it, and they can see it before it gets into the press. So I think it's a lesson that hopefully will be well learned by him, that he's more upfront with them, maybe a little bit more articulate with them on how he wants to do things and his vision. I think that would he do that in the future, he'll have maybe a better relationship and have a better opportunity to present his views on the Hill. So it's a concern for us, but you know, we have to look at what's best for our membership as a whole, as an organization. And there are things in this plan that I'm sure we're going to like, and there's things in the plan that I'm sure we're probably not going to like a whole lot. At the end of the day, we have to evaluate the good and the bad and see if that's what makes sense for our organization and for our members.
It's sort of like when you look at a plan, it's divisible to some extent. Mm-hmm. I know the Postmaster General has indicated that, and the chairman of the Board of Governors, Ron Blum, has indicated that this 10-year plan, taken as a whole, would at least reach the break-even point of the Postal Service. But there's other tweaking of it and tweaking of legislation that could dovetail with this. There is a point of negotiation. As I said, this is a plan. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been implemented. It's not as though tomorrow the switch is turned on and all of a sudden the 10-year plan is effective. This is going to have to be rolled out, and this is a vision plan.
Right, and let's also look at the legislative aspect of it. The very same people, okay, who put in 2006 these burdens on the Postal Service that have led to so many of its problems, need to fix that. Outside of 10-year plans, outside of anything, outside of whoever the Postmaster General is, they need to fix what they put on us 15 years ago. So they have a responsibility here to not try to tie too many things into, you know, lines of authority. They have a responsibility to take the action that needs to be taken to relieve these health benefit burdens outside of this 10-year plan. Now, if that works into the 10-year plan and the legislative part of it is an essential part of the 10-year plan, then that's great. But Congress needs to do its part and alleviate these burdens that they placed upon us that have caused a lot of the problems that we have today as an organization in the Postal Service. They need to fix that.
Another part of the plan that's outside of the Postal Service's control is the methodology used to calculate its annuity liability. That's the liability for paying civil service retirement service annuities, as well as the Federal Employees Retirement System annuities. And that number is calculated by the Office of Personnel Management, which is part of the administration. A fairer methodology to the Postal Service would save the Postal Service about $14 billion over the next decade. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't ordinarily lobby the White House per se. I mean, we can't pick up the phone and call up President Biden or Vice President Harris and say, we want you to tell OPM to make the methodology fairer. But there are opportunities that we have to influence the White House to make a fairer calculation. How would you suggest we do that?
Well, one of the ways is, as you just mentioned, direct contact. Another way is through our stakeholders in the organization, speaking as one voice, unions, management associations, other organizations that rely upon the Postal Service, such as the mailing industry, to lobby the Biden administration to make these changes. These are things that will benefit Postal Service. They're the right thing to do. There's no shady math in those numbers. It's just a matter of getting that message out. And I think the louder the message, the more people that come together, the more stakeholders that come together to deliver that message, the more opportunity it has to be heard and then have the changes made that would positively impact the Postal Service's bottom line.
In the 10-year plan, there are two fundamental changes in the means of transporting mail that's envisioned. One is, and I think we all are rather excited about this, is replacing the agency's aging delivery fleet with newer, more fuel-efficient vehicles, some of which will actually be electric vehicles. The other fundamental change in transport of mail will be shifting mail from air to ground transport. From a logistical standpoint, that would simplify transit, it would reduce costs, and the Postal Service argues would improve delivery predictability. At the same time, shifting to ground transit would increase the time between mail entry and mail delivery. How should we evaluate this apparent trade-off from the public perspective?
Right. So it gets back to that conversation we had a little bit ago, right, about a business versus service. And while it may be, I guess, maybe more cost effective to put mail, priority mail, first class parcels and spars on ground transportation, is that really what the public wants? And is it what our competitors are doing? And I think that's pretty clear. Our competitors are not slowing down delivery. They're speeding up delivery. Now, part of the problem is, I understand, that, you know, we don't have airplanes. So we have to buy lift on some of our competitors. And that's a problem. So perhaps there's other solutions we can do to be more creative in how we move our mail products. But in one area, I think I have to say we need to disagree with some of the aspects of this plan is that we don't want to slow delivery of any of our products down. We don't want to slow any of our product delivery down. So it puts us at a competitive disadvantage, I think. And I do think it matters. I think the American public, as technology continues to advance, and as the Postal Service has indicated, it wants to improve the transparency of its own network of communication with our customers, it becomes more and more essential that we are outpacing or at least rivaling what our competitors are doing. And in my opinion, this is not what our competitors are doing and not what we should be doing either.
What the Postmaster General sees is a growing parcel marketplace, and he wants to capture a greater percentage of that market share.
Right.
Now, under the 10-year plan, because he sees mail volume, traditional mail volume shrinking, he wants to pivot processing plans from mail sortation to package sortation, thereby increase parcel capacity within the plants. In addition, it is envisioned that 45 new parcel annexes would be created. How do you think this would impact postal personnel?
I think it's a good idea. I think that for our organization, and we represent supervisors, managers that move the mail and deliver the mail and process the mail. So I think it could be a positive aspect of it, processing more, hiring more people, needing more supervisors and managers to administer that. However, I have to look at it from a competitive standpoint. The marketplace for parcels is a very competitive place, right? So if we're going to get into that marketplace in a big way, and I think we should, and I think we've been doing that, I think we have to get into it, understanding that our competitors, once again, rely on speed, efficiency, and notification to get their message to their customers. And we have to be doing the same thing. So if we're going to get into this business in a big way, and I want to, I'm for that. I think we're all for that. We have to get into it in the best way that we can compete in that very competitive marketplace.
Final question, Chuck. In a large part, the Postal Service doesn't operate in a vacuum. Mm-hmm. There's Congress, the Postal Regulatory Commission, the White House, the U.S. courts, as we've found out most recently, have had a role to play in postal operations. But more specifically, there are three presidential nominees to the Board of Governors awaiting confirmation who may weigh in on this plan once confirmed. Also, the Postal Regulatory Commission will inevitably weigh in since the Postal Service is legally required to seek an advisory opinion prior to implementing certain aspects of the 10-year plan. And finally, key members of Congress, as I mentioned before, have raised concern about aspects and will likely conduct hearings on this. So as this all plays out, what should NAPS members be looking for?
Well, I think we have to be alert to what's happening. We have to keep up with this. And one of the things that we'll talk about during our virtual LTS here on April the 18th is some of these aspects of this and maintaining an alertness to what's happening in Congress, the PRC, all these other deliberations. Our organization represents the vast majority of management personnel in the Postal Service. So we have to be constantly cognizant of any of these changes that affect our organization. And again, as you stated in your beginning, your opening, it's a plan. 10 years is a long time. Could last 10 years, 10 weeks. We don't know how the plan is going to go. We do know there are certain fundamental changes that have to be made in the congressional role in the life of the Postal Service. We do know that. We do know that the Postal Service has to make some fundamental changes in how it delivers and processes mail. We all understand that. Moving forward, we have to balance that with service to the American public. And we have to balance here as a NAPS organization, our resident officers here in D.C., as well as our executive board, our branch leaders across the country, our members. We have to be alert to what's happening. We have to pay attention. We have to stay in contact with our congressional and legislative leadership to keep an eye on things, because things happen quickly. If you blink an eye sometimes, you're going to miss something. So part of our responsibility is to keep you informed of that, to keep all of our members on the front page, to let them know what's going on, and seek their input when necessary to help them be a part of the process. And the only way, in my opinion, the only way this plan has a chance to be successful is if you have the buy-in of all the organizations that have a stake in the survival of the Postal Service, as well as the American public. So we have to be together in that aspect. Our responsibility, of course, is to our members, and we'll continue to fulfill that responsibility. But we all have a role in it. We have to stay alert to it. I know our organization will continue to do that moving into the future. You have to be part of the solution, and we'll do that.
Chuck, I want to thank you for joining us today on NAPS Chat.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
We look forward to having you again in the not-too-distant future. To our listeners, if you enjoy NAPS Chat, please leave us a positive review in the Apple Podcast show. And more important, tell your friends to download our podcast and listen in. Be well and safe till next week.
I'm going to bend right down and write myself a letter and make me